Good morning. Good morning to those of you coming in on Zoom, and good morning to those of you who will watch this as a YouTube video, or for those listening on our audio file. Welcome to the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. After our service today, for those of you who would like to stay back, have a 10-minute break, make yourself a cuppa, we can then reconvene for some social catch-up, us in the vestry and you in the comfort of your home. Well, let's come into the presence of God, and we'll begin our service this morning, as we have for the last several weeks, with our Director of Music, Christopher Cook. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty and everlasting God, give to us the increase of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us to love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequalled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the Psalter, Psalm 90, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 17. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were born, or the earth and the world were brought to be, from eternity to eternity, you are God. You turn us back into dust, saying, "Return to dust, O children of Adam." For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday passing, or like one watch of the night. You cut them short like a dream, like the fresh grass of the morning. In the morning it is green and flourishes, at evening it is withered and dried up. Relent, O Lord, how long will you be angry? Take pity on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that all our days we may rejoice and sing. Give us joy for all the days you have afflicted us, for the years we have suffered adversity. Show your servants your work, and let their children see your glory. May the gracious favour of the Lord our God be upon us. Prosper the work of our hands, O prosper the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we have already suffered and been shamefully maltreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. or the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we hear Jesus teach us his greatest maxim about life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. No greater instruction about life is found in the Bible, nor, I might add, elsewhere. Everything can be founded on those two maxims: love God with everything you are, and your neighbour as yourself. Thus Jesus himself teaches us, on these hang all the law and the prophets. I once had a conversation with a particularly devout lawyer who explained to me in some detail that really the whole Western legal framework is best understood as being derived from that teaching. Jesus' teaching today comes as an answer to a question, yet again from a lawyer, wanting to test Jesus. And this whole encounter is in a section of Matthew's Gospel which describes repeated testing and questioning of Jesus by key religious bodies of his time. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Herodians, all groups, it must be noted, that were out to test him, and some out to trap him, to prove that he was not the Messiah as he and others claimed. Why? Well, because they do so out of a valid concern for the authenticity of their own religious faith, structure, and practice. Hence, in today's Gospel reading, Matthew writes that following a verbal defeat of the Sadducees, now another group has gathered and got, presumably, one of their smartest, a lawyer, to test Jesus further. He asks, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Now, it must be noted here that his audience likely doesn't actually want to know which commandment is the greatest, but rather which Jesus answers as the greatest, and then argue with him and hopefully trap him with his answer. There is a continued power play going on here. Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Beautiful and powerful and profound words that Jesus completely plagiarized. Jesus is quoting the Hebrew scriptures, in particular Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and then Leviticus 19 verse 18. Jesus was, after all, a devout and practicing Jewish man, and these teachings would have been drummed into him by his family and his synagogue, just as his words are drummed into us, I hope, by our families and our churches. At this point in the conversation, Matthew doesn't record the Pharisees' response to Jesus' answer, and their silence strongly suggests that Jesus' devout and correct answer was both unremarkable to them, and thus to Matthew's readers, and also duly unchallengeable. And so into this silence, Jesus continues to speak. And remember, there is this duel of sorts going on. And he asks them a question concerning who the Messiah is. Again, he confounds the Pharisees. And again, he quotes scripture, this time Psalm 110, verse 1. The end result on this grand final weekend, this encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees, well, Jesus 2, Pharisees 0. Now, whilst this scoreline underlines Jesus' authority and his wisdom, it is not the most important feature of this exchange. What is most important here is to ask what it means to live according to the maxim of loving God, neighbour, and self in that order. This command to love one's neighbour as oneself is not unique to Christianity, or indeed to Judaism. In fact, it is found in almost all religious and humanist traditions, the so-called Golden Rule. And virtually anyone of sound mind, religious or otherwise, can see the inherent virtue of living with this teaching as a central tenet of one's life. If you want to be loved, love. If you want to be comforted, comfort. If you want to be protected, protect. If you want to be fed, feed, and so on and so forth. No one is an island, entire of itself. Every person is a piece of the continent, a part of the main, to quote Anglican divine John Donne. And so what one wants to happen to oneself must be made to happen to others, because, as we've been reminded lately, we're all in this together. Equally, if one of us suffers, we all suffer. If one of us is diminished, we are all diminished. To hear this great teaching from Jesus this morning, I think, is incredibly helpful in the time we are living in. Australia has, for the most part, achieved what the majority of countries around the world have failed to do so far: suppress COVID-19 to the point of limited outbreaks and thus limited health impacts. The sacrifices that Victorians have made in this achievement are extraordinary. So many of us have sacrificed so much for so long, not simply for our good, but for the good of everyone in our state. We have tried our best to love our neighbour. We have done this by going without family visits, by living alone, by going out with the company, by giving up the company of friends, working from home and not getting haircuts, for the good of the community as a whole. And hence our righteous anger over people who thought that they were above the law in these past few months, as if one person and their desire for a hot curry or a bag of donuts was more valuable than the health and well-being of thousands. Many of us have lost jobs, battled mental and physical illness at unparalleled levels, and watched in heartache as we and our neighbours suffer. And we await anxiously what will happen even this afternoon and in the coming weeks and months as normal life beckons us again. How fortunate we are. You would have to be a fool not to recognise the value of the sacrifices we have made. One need only look at comparable countries and economies such as the United States, Britain, France, Spain, and now again Italy, to see what happens when communities and individuals decide to splinter, to go their own way, to place, for whatever reason, an individual's freedom above that of the collective whole. Did we get it right in Victoria from woe to go? No. Did I get it right every single day from woe to go? No. Were mistakes made in our state? You bet. Have I made mistakes? You bet. Have you made mistakes? I'll leave you to make that wager. But the power, the health, the strength that comes from communities coming together and making sacrifices for the good of each other, literally loving our neighbour, has for the most part been demonstrated on a grand scale that I'm probably never going to see again. Let me share something with you. At the beginning of this pandemic, I had serious fears that at some point Kyron and I would be standing in the mud of mass burial plots, saying the burial rites for countless strangers who had succumbed to the virus. And if you think I'm being histrionic, spare a thought for one of my friends, an Episcopal priest in the United States, who had to do exactly that, who went out to a mass burial plot near New York City, and as hundreds and hundreds of people were buried in great, long and sad rows, said the funeral rite and commended those people to Almighty God. What is even worse is that you will likely have to do it again and again. Through our collective efforts, we have, at this stage at least, avoided such an awful fate. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We have done extraordinarily well at loving our neighbour. I hope and pray too that we have done well at loving ourselves. I hope we have done extraordinarily well at loving God too, because it's not easy when a tragedy such as a pandemic strikes. Our church, which has weathered previous pandemics and great world wars, has suffered. Has our relationship with God suffered too? Are we angry with God? Or have we, so it would seem, drawn closer to God, loved God more, when we began to see what the great and dark abyss looks like, how fragile we really are? In these extraordinary times, we need to continue to love God with all that we are and all that we have. From God comes everything we are and everything we have. We owe God literally our life. We seek to love each other after the model of God's love for God's Son, inexhaustible and unending, even unto death. And what this love looks like for each of us will be different. But our devotion to God as the centre of life must not waver. We must love God with all our heart and mind and soul. Let me just say one thing more in relation to our devotion and our church. This devotion to God must be seen. And in the year ahead, it must be seen in the support of our church and its ministry. I urge you to pledge your financial support to St. John's, to give back to God what is God's through pledging. Giving of our financial resources, just as much as our time, our intellect, our service, is a devotion to God. It's not a choice, but a core part of being a Christian. We dedicate ourselves and our money to the work and mission of God through our church. In today's pew sheet and last week's pew sheet, and I think next week's pew sheet as well, Warden Helen Ballantyne and Parish Recorder Anne Bottomley detail the financial support we all give to our church. And I'm grateful to them both for this work on this, and I wholly support their analysis and their conclusions. One of the glaring conclusions is that only 59 of us, including Kyron and myself, are supporting our church through pledging. These 59 people provide the funds for 1/3 of our entire church budget, for which I and others are extremely grateful. But it's not good, and it's not right, and it's not indeed godly that the life and ministry of our church is dependent upon the devotion and financial contributions of the few. Frankly, this has to stop. No longer can the financial sacrifice of a few people sustain the life of everyone else. So please pledge, using the resources detailed in our pew sheet and on our website. If you need a hand, you can call our office. Now, I understand and I appreciate deeply that not everyone can support our church as much as others, or indeed as much as they might like. I understand these pandemic times have drastically changed people's financial ability. But our faith remains, and our church remains, and so too, I hope, does our devotion to God. So join with me in loving God and our neighbour with a pledge to our church, for the good of all and to the glory of God. Amen.
Let us say the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come to a time of prayer now, and the prayers this morning are taken from a prayer book for Australia. We pray for the peace of the world, the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the welfare of your holy church, our Bishop Genevieve, and for all the clergy and people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for seasonable weather and for an abundance of the fruits of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that we may share with justice the resources of the earth and live in trust and goodwill with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the aged and the infirm, for the bereaved and the lonely, and for the sick and suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the poor and the oppressed, for prisoners and captives, and for all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and for one another. Here we pray for those known to us silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, Lord God, for the communion of saints and for the glorious hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have promised to hear our prayers. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may by your grace receive, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, confident in God's forgiveness. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to God in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. This morning. We're going to take a break in a moment and reconvene for a cup of coffee or tea. Just before we do so, just a brief reminder that this Thursday at 7 p.m. we will celebrate All Souls Day. 7 p.m. on Thursday. The Zoom link is in the pew sheet for this week and will be sent out via all the usual channels this week. So 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Please do send in to the prayers@stjohnstoorak.org email address any of those people that you wish to be remembered on that evening. And I look forward to remembering that great service and celebrating that great service on Thursday evening. See you in a moment for a cup of coffee.